He's the opinionated Ottawa icon.
The Rob Snow Show returns
on Rogers TV and City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.
The Prime Minister of Canada has scheduled some airtime for 11:15 this morning. His traditional Rito Cottage backdrop will be the setting for his news conference today. First one of the new year, I believe, for Prime Minister Trudeau. We've been talking lockdowns, and a group of academics, doctors, business people say tight, long-lasting, restrictive lockdowns in Canada are needed to combat the second wave of COVID-19. It would be better for both public health and the economy. And one of them is Professor Chris Cotton, who joins me now, Queen's University Department of Economics and Limestone Analytics. Good morning, Professor. Nice to hear from you.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
So I want to talk a lot in the little time that we have about this idea that we should have a Canadian shield that would involve three key actions. Sustain an effective lockdown until COVID cases are low enough that testing, tracing, and isolation can work effectively. An effective lockdown. An effective lockdown. What does that look like for you?
So what this means is that what we're proposing in this with the Canadian shield is to switch priority away from reopening the economy as soon as possible after cases are down enough that we know that the hospitals are not being overwhelmed. Switching priority away from this to put priority on avoiding a third wave of lockdown policies. So what this means is to be more cautious at the rate in which we relax restrictions after January. This doesn't mean having the same level of restrictions that we're having right now or that we had in April of last year and having these for several months like they've done in Melbourne and Australia, for example, where it's 3 months of severe lockdown. What it means is having 1 month like we have now and then start to relax restrictions, but to be more cautious in the way that we're relaxing restrictions so that we can make sure that we're avoiding a third wave, because the third wave, the multiple waves, is more costly than just a more severe set of lockdowns in the beginning, both in terms of health, of lives lost and the spread of the disease, but also in terms of economic well-being for Canada.
Okay, yeah. Be more cautious in how you lift restrictions. So what sort of things would you be looking at under this scenario?
So we probably want to, it doesn't mean we can't start lifting restrictions, that we shouldn't be very, very careful, for example, about 3 months of schooling of in-person schooling being off the table, right? It doesn't mean that we should be doing that. What it means is that we have to be careful about doing things like opening up restaurants and bars as soon as we possibly can, as opposed to keeping restrictions on this type of activity of large gatherings, of in-person meetings, of all these things in place so that we can keep a downward trend in cases coming and that we don't just see cases start to climb over the next 3 months again, and then we have to shut down a second time, or I guess in this case it's a third time in May or June.
Okay. It says here, relax restrictions only to the extent that new COVID cases continue a steady decline of 17% to 25% a week. So under that scenario, how long would it take?
No, I'm the economic modeler and not the,
right.
and not
okay.
the not the health modeler here. So
right.
so the way that my role in this process has taken place
is that, why this would be better for the economy
exactly. so
than what we're doing right now. Then. Okay, well let's talk about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about that. Why would this method be more beneficial economically? For example, the analysis says it could generate $37 billion worth of economic growth in 2021, this year, and 320,000 jobs. So how do you arrive at those figures?
So the model that we've developed through Queen's University and Limestone Analytics, it can model the interconnection of different industries in the economy and supply chains and different local economies and how everything's interconnected, so that if you shock something, if you take jobs out of a sector, or if you reduce economic activity in a sector, we can look at how this recovers over time and how it spreads through different sectors in the economy. And so what happens with a economic shock, whether it's a hurricane or whether it's a pandemic, and the lockdown policies associated with these, is it doesn't just, when we lock down the economy, it's not just when that lockdown's in place that we're suffering economically. It's also during this recovery period in the months afterwards. So if we lose jobs in January, or if we lose economic activity in January, even if the job losses don't occur quite yet because inventories are building up and so on. But if we take an economic shock in January, it's going to take several months afterwards to recover to where we would have been without that economic shock. So when there's a lockdown in January, it can take several, even if we get rid of the lockdown restrictions right after January, it will take several months to recover. And we can model this based on what we've seen during the first year of COVID, but also just what we know about the way that economies recover.
Okay.
And what happens is that it's a lot worse to have multiple shutdowns spread out across the year or across the next 6 months, where we shut it down, then we go through a costly period of recovery. But before we're even fully recovered again, we end up with another need to shut down the economy and more severe lockdowns again, and then we start to recover. It would be better from an economic point of view to lock down for multiple months in the beginning.
Right.
More strictly, and then only have one recovery period at which we're more confident that we're avoiding that third wave. And so that's what the economic model is saying, is that if we can avoid that third wave, even if that initial lockdown is more costly, that overall, over the course of 2021, we're going to be better off as an economy.
But I guess, Professor, the risk is, or the hedge is, that whether it's 28 days or whether it's 2 months or 3 months, are we not taking a leap of faith that whatever length of lockdown the economy happens to be in, that the virus will not reemerge, whether it's after 28 days or after 128 days, right?
Yeah, so these are based on the epidemiological model that's also attached to the report. And the epidemiologists that have been involved with this are some of the leading ones in Canada, and they are making these long-term projections over the course of the next 6 months, the next year. But like any long-term projections, I mean, there's noise behind this. And so from an economic point of view, what we can tell you is, given these different scenarios, given these different policies that we've considered, what's the best guess in terms of what the policy is going to, what the evolution of lockdown is going to look like over the next 6 months? What's the evolution of the disease going to look like over the 6 months? Given the best guess that's there under these different lockdown policies, we can attach economic measures to it. We can attach job losses and GDP losses from the economic model.
Yeah. And part of the argument now is this roller coaster, this yo-yo. Okay, you're closed, you're open. Okay, you're closed again, you're open a little bit. It's wreaking havoc, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's have one lasting lockdown and one lasting recovery.
No, that's absolutely right. Yeah. That's what we're showing. And when we first developed this model, so we developed the model at the beginning of COVID, building on a bunch of work that's been out there in economics, with like disaster striking and shutting down entire sectors or communities and then seeing how recovery takes place. When we developed this, we were really focused on quantifying, on measuring these economic costs of lockdown policies, right? We were working to really put a dollar value on these things to show local communities, to help local policymakers make arguments on why they need to relax their restrictions. We started with the idea that we need to start relaxing restrictions when they're not needed, right? When you have overly strict lockdown policies in Kingston, and case counts very low, for example, talking about where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah.
When you do that, the cost of this from an economic point of view are huge. But what we also know, or what we know from looking at the longer term projections now, is that as long as we're smart about the lockdown policies and we're doing what we can to avoid that third wave, that it's actually better to avoid that, even if it means stricter in the beginning. Now, this doesn't mean really strict across the board everywhere. What this means is making sure that we're still in decline in terms of case counts, we can avoid that third wave.
And if you are, if the country was to move in this direction, government was to move in this direction, it would have to be there to the same magnitude that it was there for businesses and individuals and communities affected by these decisions, the same way it was last spring. You would agree with that, Professor, right?
Well, say that again, that we would have to, that they would have to.
They would have to be supported. They would have to be supported by government, right?
Absolutely. I think that a lot of the lockdown restrictions that are put into place, they transfer, in some sense, they transform the burden of the disease from let's say, a health cost on old and health at risk people to younger populations who now can't find jobs or whose work potentially is torpedoed by the crisis and so on, transferred to small business owners in downtown, right? When this happens, I think that the government does need to support these groups who are taking on a bigger burden because of the lockdown. I agree with that.
Thank you, Professor. Thank you, Professor, for your time this morning. Very nice to hear from you.
And thank you for having me.
Chris Cotton from Queen's University from the Economics Department. Also with Limestone Analytics. Where's Justin Trudeau? Well, he's supposed to have a news conference. It was supposed to start 2 minutes ago. It may be underway. We'll join it when we come back to the Rob Snow Show here on City News.
Strong voice.
Strong opinions.
The Rob Snow Show returns on Rogers TV and City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.
Where is Justin Trudeau? That question persisted through social media for days and days and days in the wake of the traveling politicians scandal that broke last week. Where's Justin Trudeau? Where's Justin Trudeau with all of these politicians in trouble for traveling? Where in the world is Justin Trudeau? People were wondering. And now here we are. It's 20 after 11 in Ottawa on the 5th of January. And well, the prime minister is in Ottawa and there is the familiar sight of Rideau Cottage with a lovely Christmas wreath on the door. And there's no sign of Justin Trudeau. He is 6 minutes late for his own news conference. Doesn't that drive you batty when politicians say, I'm having a news conference, the media, it will start at 11:15. You have to be there and all set up a half an hour early, by the way, okay, to get through security and everything. It's Rideau Cottage, after all. And then he's late. Right. But you can't. So anyway, when he walks down the steps, reporters will be wondering, does the guy have a tan? Is he? This news conference could take an incredible twist if Justin Trudeau shows up and he is like a bronzed Adonis. Because his staff have been adamant he did not leave the country. He is not one of those misbehaving politicians who traveled internationally. But look, you can understand why that was an outstanding question. Why people wouldn't accept the answer that was offered by his staff. Why he didn't scramble before now. I mean, it is January 5th. Why he didn't scramble before now to get himself seen and out in public when the traveling politician scandal broke. Where is Trudeau? Where is Trudeau? They just kind of let that linger out there for a while. His staff said he was spending the holidays in the National Capital Region. So he was in town, his staff says. Maybe he was up at Harrington Lake. That's what I would like to think, given all the money that taxpayers poured into fixing up the Harrington Lake retreat. How much was it? I mean, they were moving entire buildings up roads, for crying out loud, in the Gatineau Hills to give the Prime Minister and the family a better lake view. I get it. It's not the Trudeau's house. It's the Prime Minister's.
$8.5 million.
$8.5 million. Thank you, Brian. David. Thank you, David. He is the Prime Minister known for holiday travel, of course. You remember the Christmas vacation to the Aga Khan's private island. You remember that, David? That got him into hot water with the ethics commissioner of the day.
Yeah, that was a rough week for Justin.
Turns out it was a violation of the Ethics Act.
And whatever.
I think it was the first one. Was it the first one? Was it the second one? Was it the third one? There have been so many.
They all blend together for me.
And something tells me there was a trip to like a quiet, kind of sleepy Florida town, wasn't there, for Christmas one year?
The Florida trip?
I think he had a Florida trip.
I don't remember
Florida.
With
like the security detail in tow, and it caused a stir with the locals, and it ended up in the papers.
Oh, yeah, here it is. March of 2019.
Oh, March of 2019. Okay. Maybe it was March break.
Midway through Florida vacation, Trudeau jets back to Ottawa for day of private meetings.
Right. Okay. That's right. So it wasn't a carbon neutral trip, is what you're saying.
No, that's a carbon intensive afternoon, I would say.
But the fact is, you know, the holidays are over. Time off is over. People are back to work. Christmas trees have been taken down. We took down our tree. Have you taken down your tree?
No, we left it up.
It's still up. It's the 5th day of January. Why is it still up?
Because I haven't taken it down yet, and she hasn't taken it down yet, and it's still
so
up.
So it's still up. Okay. You're going to argue about who has to take it down.
It's a small apartment.
At our place.
It's nice. It's decor now. It's just winter decor.
We paid $60 for that. We're not taking it down until it falls down. But for most people, the Christmas tree has been taken down. The decorations are packed away in boxes for another year. And still, nobody has seen the Prime Minister in days, and he's 10 minutes late for his own news conference. The odd thing is, the Prime Minister is not known to be camera shy. And there are urgent matters of the people's business to tend to. It's a time of global health crisis. We have the largest vaccine rollout in the history of the country. And to be charitable, so far, it has underwhelmed. Where is Justin Trudeau? You would think, just politically, given all the huffing and puffing about politicians taking trips abroad for the holidays, the Prime Minister's fondness for doing so in the past, the many questions being asked about the slow pace of vaccinations, why the Prime Minister didn't rush to get his mug on television with one of these settings. The Rideau Cottage news conference. The purpose of which today, I'd like to know what the purpose of this is today. Maybe it's just to show, hey, look at me, I'm actually here. I didn't leave the country. I didn't leave you in your time of need. In fact, I've barely left the house. I'm on top of everything. We're going to redouble our efforts on vaccines. Don't let your guard down on all of this stuff. And yet, until today, none of that had happened. And that's why that question persisted on social media. Where is Justin Trudeau? Where is Justin Trudeau? Where is Justin Trudeau? People are looking for tan lines, though. If there are any tan lines on the Prime Minister, he's going to have some splaining to do. Because his government has been very good at procuring vaccines, right? You were told enough to vaccinate every Canadian multiple times, glowing stories in the media about the procurement minister, Anita Arcand. All of that is well and good. It's good that we procured all of this vaccine, but people are starting to seriously wonder, when am I going to get the shot? And where is the urgency? If this is supposed to be a war footing, why does it move so slow? Mr. Trudeau didn't miss a beat when he and the entourage wanted to make sure they were at the Ottawa hospital for the first photo op of people getting shots. But since then, well, that takes us back to our original question, doesn't it? Where is Justin Trudeau? This is the Rob Snow Show on City News.
The world is changing.
So keep up with Rob.
The Rob Snow Show returns on Rogers TV and City News. 101.1 FM and 1310 AM.
Where is Justin Trudeau? He's right here at Rideau Cottage. Updating Canadians.
And we are continuing to repeat that message. There is also a mandatory quarantine for all those who return to Canada without exception, with very severe legal restrictions if the quarantine is violated. The checks and measures that we have placed at the border since March are some of the strictest in the world. That's important in order to protect our loved ones, health workers, and to ensure that our hospitals not be overwhelmed.
It's long had some of the strongest travel measures in the world. Since March, these rules have helped save lives. As new strains of COVID-19 emerge, as cases skyrocket in countless countries, this is the time to double down on keeping you and your family safe. Starting Thursday, to be eligible to return to Canada, travelers must have a negative COVID-19 test before boarding their flight. This is in addition to the long-standing mandatory two-week quarantine once people arrive. Officials are reviewing travelers' isolation plans, and if the plan is not up to par, the travelers will have to quarantine in a federal facility. Earlier today, I also spoke with President Ramaphosa of South Africa, including about our work together on fighting COVID-19 and the global response to this pandemic. Canada and South Africa have long worked as partners to keep our citizens safe and build a healthier, brighter future for everyone. As we face this pandemic, we will continue to stand together. This includes on fighting the virus and on ensuring that no one gets left behind as we rebuild. On public health in particular, Canada is taking the steps needed to protect Canadians and stop the spread of COVID-19. We've put in place additional screening and enhanced measures to respond to new challenges wherever they occur around the world. We've been very clear. No one should be vacationing abroad right now. But if you still decide to travel at your own risk, you will need to show a negative COVID-19 test before you return, and you must self-isolate for 2 weeks when you get back. You need to take this seriously. Not following the rules could mean real consequences, including fines and prison time. Let me also be very clear about the Canada Recovery Sickness Benefit. It is not intended for travelers who are quarantining when they return from holiday. This program was created to give people sick leave if they needed it and otherwise wouldn't have one from their employer. It's not there to pay for someone's post-vacation quarantine. We'll have more details soon, but anyone who traveled for non-essential reasons will not be able to access the sickness benefit. So many people gave up so much more than just a vacation over the holidays. There's a reason so many Canadians made those tough but responsible decisions. There's a reason so many Canadians did their part. It was for the people around them, for the senior that is better protected, for the frontline worker who's safer on the job, for the small business owner who could look with more confidence to reopening. We can't let the sacrifices we've made over the holidays and over the last 10 months go to waste. This afternoon, I'll be speaking with local business owners in BC and PEI who are working hard to keep employees on the payroll. Later, I'll also have a chance to drop in on a virtual classroom with students in Edmonton. As a former teacher, these classroom meetings are among my favorites. Our kids are doing an incredible job of not just adapting, but also looking out for each other. So to all the kids doing virtual school this year, and with a lot of you starting up this week, you're doing great. Keep it up. And remember, even as you're trying to figure out how to get virtual school going, this is tough for your parents, too. So maybe give them an extra hug at the end of the day and, you know, maybe for once do the dishes without being prompted or asked to it. We're all in this together, and the more we can all help each other out, the better we're going to make it through this. Right across the country, people of every age are doing their part. Now is not the time to give up. With rising cases, many provinces that have already made tough decisions will have to continue doing so, whether with local restrictions or province-wide shutdowns. It's not easy, but it is necessary. Our government will be there as a partner for all orders of government as they make the right choices to keep people safe. Working together is what will get us through this crisis, because we're not out of the woods yet. On New Year's Eve, there were over 8,400 new COVID-19 cases reported in Canada. And the day before, there had been almost 7,500 cases. These aren't just numbers. Hundreds of families are grieving someone they lost over the holidays. Thousands more are worried about a loved one in hospital. Countless paramedics, nurses, and doctors are struggling to keep up with new patient after new patient. That's what's at stake here. That's why your choices matter. En portant un masque, en gardant vos distances.
By wearing a mask, physical distancing, and avoiding social gatherings, you are keeping yourself and others safe. By using the COVID Alert application, you can contribute to slowing the spread of the illness. For example, last Thursday, hundreds of people entered their unique code into the application after receiving a positive test result. That simple action will help prevent hundreds of other people from catching the virus. The struggle against COVID-19 is something we need to do as a team, and we will get through this pandemic. Over the last few weeks, our government has provided additional support to the communities that needed it. For example, the Red Cross in long-term care in Quebec and the Canadian Rangers in the Kwinana First Nation. And we are ready to do more if necessary.
Especially in Ontario, long-term care homes are facing extremely concerning outbreaks of COVID-19. This is unacceptable. Our elders, our parents and grandparents built this country. They raised us, and they deserve the very best possible care. We've already lost too many elders in long-term care. The tragedies of the spring must not be repeated. So as we have been since March, our government is here to support provinces in getting the situation under control in their jurisdictions. Already, we've been in touch with the government of Ontario and stand ready to provide additional targeted help. Today, just like when we first deployed the armed forces and the Red Cross during the first wave, our top priority is keeping people safe. I'll be bringing up long-term care homes with all premiers on Thursday at our First Minister's meeting, as well as shared work on vaccine distribution and measures on borders and travel. We're all in this fight together, and our government will always be here to do our part. An armed forces deployment, boosting testing, isolation measures, this can be the difference between local outbreaks becoming a crisis or becoming under control. I think of when the Shamattawa First Nation in Manitoba requested emergency support to respond to the COVID-19 outbreak in their community over the past weeks. The federal government deployed the Canadian Armed Forces, who worked side by side with the community on testing, contact tracing, and isolation capacity. And today, cases are a fraction of where they were, and the community continues to work hard to stop the spread of the virus. À tous les gens qui travaillent sur le terrain.
To all those working hard on the ground, whether in the Canadian Armed Forces or the Red Cross.
So we're going to leave that. It's turned into a very, very busy news morning. The Ottawa Public Health Agency is doing an update right now as well on the local vaccination rollout with some of the senior city of Ottawa staff. We have a reporter here at City News working on that for you here at city news. So we're all over that. That's the Prime Minister. He's in his familiar territory, his familiar surroundings of Rideau Cottage. I do not see a tan, although he may need a haircut. It looks like it's been a while since he has had a haircut. Now, tomorrow, the big news conference of the day is going to be from Quebec Premier François Legault, expected to announce a new stricter lockdown sometime tomorrow afternoon. Will go into effect for Saturday and may include a curfew. We have Alessia Rubertucci on the line from City News in Montreal. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, exactly right. Quebec French language paper La Presse was saying that this lockdown may start as of January 9th, and it would be complete like it was during the first wave in Quebec. And so it's expected to last 3 to 4 weeks, and it would extend to schools, offices, construction work, all other activities, commercial operations, except those, of course, essential. Grocery stores, pharmacies can remain open. And this new possible curfew is being discussed. They're saying that it could start anywhere between 8 and 9 p.m. and could continue until the morning. But from what we know, our Premier, François Legault, is still figuring out if that's feasible with public security. And they haven't taken a decision yet. And as you mentioned, we'll know more tomorrow afternoon. Right now, we have a current partial lockdown. And what the province was calling a circuit breaker pause, that was scheduled to end January 11th. But as we know, we're already preparing for what's next. So this new lockdown will begin before January 11th, of course, Saturday. And so that current lockdown is including non-essential retail stores and schools. Schools would have reopened on the 11th, but it seems that this will be delayed. We don't know by how much, but right now the non-essential retail stores, which the shutdown began on December 25th, they would have reopened the 11th, but it doesn't seem like that's going to be happening, especially because epidemiologists I spoke to say even though things were shut down the 25th, we won't actually have a real picture of what the how the holidays affect our COVID-19 numbers as they continue to rise. We may only have a real true picture in the coming 2 weeks or even a month from what I hear. So many experts are saying we need a shutdown. We need a shutdown because right now, Quebec has a case rate per capita higher than any other province in Canada right now.
So, Alessia, he's working out some of the details today, some of the finer points. That will include what it's going to look like, I'm sure, in the National Capital Region, where the last time around there were SQ officers patrolling bridges, imposing travel restrictions on the bridges between Ottawa and Gatineau, for example. So
right.
Points like that. I think the most startling thing to come out of La Presse is the idea that there would be a curfew, but very few details on that right now, right?
Very few details, exactly. And from what we know, other sources are saying that there may not be a curfew after all. La Presse says that it's a possibility, but other outlets are saying, no, there may not be a curfew. It'll just be more of a stay-at-home order. So we don't know more about that. We will know tomorrow at 5 p.m. And it was actually supposed to be today that we had the details that Premier Legault was supposed to have his press conference today at 5 p.m. And in fact, they had to move it because it seems he's still firming up the details. They still are looking at what the best situation is. Public health, based on the La Presse report, are the ones who are recommending a curfew, but ultimately it'll be in Legault's hands to decide if they want to impose that curfew per se. And usually a late afternoon press conference in Quebec means an important, serious announcement is coming. So, of course, okay, no more tomorrow. We were supposed to know today, though.
All right. Very interesting. We'll be following it very closely. Thank you so much for your report today from Montreal, from City News Montreal. That is Alessia Rubertucci. It's 11:45. We'll come back. Catherine Callery is going to join us, Vice President of Destination Development at Ottawa Tourism. Looking forward to finding out what the plan is for 2021 for our third largest industry here in Ottawa, and more of the Prime Minister's news conference from Rideau Cottage. This is City News.
Firm.
Fair.
Fun.
The Rob Snow Show returns
on Rogers TV and City News, 101.1 FM
and 1310 AM.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau outside Rideau Cottage taking reporters' questions right now on the vaccine rollout.
Trying to use that money to pay for their quarantine when they get back from traveling abroad. When most Canadians understand perfectly well that this is
about
not the time to be
Canada
like
sickness
that.
Benefit,
so
which
of course
was
we agree that it's completely unacceptable.
$1,000 for
and
returning travelers if they're going to cut that. This was supposed to be the paid sick leave that the NDP had been demanding. People were exploiting that and using it as kind of their cushion when they had to quarantine coming back from holiday.
We brought it in place to ensure that if someone comes down with a sniffle or symptoms of COVID-19, they don't decide, oh no, if I stay home, I don't get sick benefits, I'm not going to be able to pay for groceries for my kids. We want them to stay home and we want them to have the support. That's why we brought in the Canada Sickness Benefit. We didn't bring it in and we didn't imagine when we passed it unanimously in the House with the support of all parties that people would use it to pay for their quarantines after having gone south for a two-week vacation. So that is something we are going to fix right now. We're looking at ways of doing it. I've asked the ministers responsible to come up with solutions rapidly to ensure that it is there to keep Canadians safe and protect people who need this sickness benefit to stay away from work, not as a way of paying for quarantine after a vacation.
En suivi, Émilie?
Oui, bien sûr. Les mesures de...
Question. When it comes to the federal government's control measures in airports, during the first wave of COVID-19, the federal government was criticized for its measures on that score. The city of Montreal had sent its own health professionals to check in on mandatory quarantine. Now that we're in the second wave, at the perhaps the peak of the second wave, I'm wondering whether the Canadian government is thinking of doing more and suspending flights from South Africa. Answer. First of all, since March, we've brought in measures that were stricter than many other countries around the world. Many other countries that are our allies don't have that, which is a mandatory two-week quarantine for everyone coming into the country. This mandatory quarantine has been extremely effective. We see that COVID-19 transmission due to travelers from abroad represent less than 2% of new cases of COVID-19. This measure is working very well then.
Okay, let's leave that.
Over the last few months.
The new rule that comes into effect is the need for a negative COVID-19 test before you're allowed on an airplane, allowed into the country on an international flight. But that's the Prime Minister. We're keeping a... We're continuing to monitor that. The Ottawa Public Health Media availability is also happening right now, and there's some interesting information that's coming out of that, like mobile vaccination availability, for example, is coming to the city of Ottawa. Anthony DeMonte, who's heading that up for the city, is doing an event right now with Dr. Vera Etches and some of the other senior staff at the City of Ottawa. So more on all of this is coming up here on City News at noon, our noon newscast here on City News, and ongoing coverage during Ottawa Today with Mark Sutcliffe. 11:53 here now for Ottawa Tourism. The year 2020 was a year they just like to forget, put it away, throw it in the Rideau Canal, forget it ever happened. 2021, let's hope things get much, much better for the tourism industry in our city because it's our third largest employer behind the government and technology. What is the plan for this year, the recovery plan? Catherine Callery is with me, Vice President, Destination Development with Ottawa Tourism. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
Yeah, it's really nice to hear from you.
It's great to hear your voice, too.
What are some of the sort of key ideas that Ottawa Tourism is going to be focusing on as the industry looks to recover in 2021?
Well, at the moment, certainly the current lockdown situation is making travel even more undesirable than it was, if you can imagine that. But but we are we firmly believe that winter still, I mean, there's lots of reasons to be optimistic. Winter still presents lots of reasons and lots of opportunities for people to explore Ottawa for our local population, of course, until it becomes safe for people to start to travel and to circulate more. And at that point, we're going to look at, you know, regional, provincial, and interprovincial travel before we start to expand into domestic. And, you know, honestly, international travel is definitely years away from recovery, full recovery here in Ottawa.
Yeah, I know in 2020, when we would speak with Ottawa Tourism, it was sort of Ottawa. You can drive there, and you would kind of make the appeal to people who already lived in the National Capital Region or close to the National Capital Region, or could view it as a destination that would could be part of a day's road trip or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, Kingston, Montreal, GTA communities like this. Is that still kind of part of the plan? Or?
Well, it will be eventually. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
At
All
the
right.
moment, that's not what health officials are recommending. They're certainly not recommending interprovincial travel. And really, I mean, when you think about it, tourism and the crisis that faces tourism is an economic crisis, but it's anchored in this health crisis. So we really do have to get past the health crisis in order to recover on the economic side of things. So we're very much supporting public health messaging and the recommendations there, and urging people to pay attention there and to stay local and
right,
to explore
okay.
their city locally at the moment. Yeah.
Don't go to Hawaii. Right.
So don't go
to St. Bart's. Whatever you do, don't go to St. Bart's. Go to Ottawa. Right.
Well, we prefer people to keep to keep our economy locally
That's
going.
Right.
There's ways to support local businesses, and we should be focused as a community on keeping our businesses afloat through this whole thing. Yeah.
But it's anything. What I'm getting is it's anything but business as usual. Like, it's so far removed from business as usual right now.
It's pretty much the opposite of business as usual.
Right,
but
right.
you can't underestimate the resilience of tourism. That's one thing that we've learned through 2020, is that businesses are going to find ways to stay relevant. They're going to find ways to pivot. There's that word again. But, you know, I mean, virtual experiences and those types of things. On our ottawatourism.ca website, we've got a whole list of ways to support local virtual experiences, things you can do with your friends that are virtual rather than getting together in person, and then outdoor things, of course, as well. So there's lots of ways to support the community through this whole thing.
Okay. I thank you for your time this morning. Fingers crossed for a much better season ahead.
Amen to that. Thanks,
yeah,
Rob.
Thank you. Catherine Callery, Vice President of Destination Development at Ottawa Tourism. So once again, so many things happening right now. There was a technical update from Ontario health officials on the situation with COVID-19. That was at 11 o'clock today. We were listening in. Ottawa Public Health is doing its own briefing right now. We've been listening to that. And the Prime Minister making his announcement. Tomorrow, Quebec is going to be a big story. We're all over all of it here at City News. And I'm back tomorrow right after the 9 o'clock news with The Rob Snow Show.
The Rob Snow Show.
Tune in weekdays starting at 9 on Rogers TV and City News, 101.1 FM and 1310 AM.
Number one for local news in Ottawa and the Valley.